Columbia and Yale scientists found supposedly the spiritual part of our brains, and they say that religion is not required. But what do you think? So, you know, of course, this goes back to the observation versus interpretation part of science and faith. You know, we can observe the same things. You can observe that things light up in the brain or whatever, but what they interpret it to mean is subjective. So let's go through this. Scientists seek to quantify everything, of course, even the ineffable. And so the human search for meaning recently took a physical turn as Columbia and Yale University researchers isolated the place in our brain that possesses spiritual experiences. So in this new study, which is published in Cerebral Cortex on May 29th, neuroscientists explain how they generated personally relevant spiritual experiences in a diverse group of subjects and scanned their brains while these experiences were happening. And the results indicate that there's a neurobiological home for spirituality. So when we feel a sense of connection with something greater than ourselves, whether transcendence involves communion with God or nature, humanity, a certain part of the brain appears to activate. And the study suggests that there is universal cognitive basis for spirituality as opposed to a cultural grounding for such states. And this new discovery, researchers say, could help improve mental health treatment down the line. So previous studies have examined the brain activity of Buddhist monks or Catholic nuns, people who are already spiritually inclined and familiar with the practice of cultivating transcendent states. But this research analyzed subjects from different backgrounds with varying degrees of faith and different spiritual beliefs and stuff, which is a totally different individual notions of what constitutes a spiritual experience. So, of course, then how do they know what they're measuring? So here's a quote from the article. It says, although studies have linked specific brain measures to aspects of spirituality, none have sought to directly examine spiritual experiences, particularly when using a broader modern definition of spirituality that may be independent of religiousness, the study explains. So because there are many types of transcendent moments with varying degrees of meaning to different people, it's been difficult to test the general effects of spirituality as opposed to religiosity. So for this study, the researchers generated individual scripts and put each subject in their own relevant transcendent state. Now, with each of the 27 subjects, all young, healthy adults, the researchers created a personal script based on each person's self-reported previous spiritual experience. The scientists then scanned brain activity when generating such a state in the subjects. And during their varied transcendent states, all subjects showed similar activity patterns in the parietal cortex, which processes sensation, spatial orientation, and language, and is thought to influence attention, among other functions. So in other words, whether the thing that makes a person feel connected to something greater involves church or trees or a stadium full of sports fans, it appears to have the same effect on the brain. Now, you know, before continuing on, I'll throw my two cents in here. What does it matter? You know, you close your eyes to pray and you close your eyes to sleep. It doesn't mean that they're the same thing. So just because it lights up the same part of the brain, it doesn't mean that it's a spiritual experience the way that we would think so. That's the problem with using such broad terms. Typically, we see this on the left. You know, we see this with a lot of non-conservative types. But you use a broad term and then you can put everything in that term and then you can kind of shift reality around and make it mean whatever you want to mean. You can change the definition of terms based on whatever you need. So like the headline said, God doesn't need to be involved in this. Well, it turns out they're not really talking about spirituality at all. So continuing on, the effect on the brain is distinct from the effect of other forms of relaxation, according to researchers. So here's a quote. We observed in the spiritual condition as compared with neutral relaxing condition, reduced activity in the left inferior parietal lobule or IPL, a result that suggests that IPL may contribute importantly to perceptual processing and self-other representations during spiritual experiences. So these changes in the brain, they are thinking may help explain why during spiritual experiences, the barrier between self and others can be reduced or even eliminated altogether, although we need some separation between ourselves and everyone else for protection and to manage reality. Removing the barrier every so often, they think, is valuable. But again, it's such a broad term. What does a spiritual experience mean? It doesn't mean a Christian experience. Now, we as Christians would say the only true experience that you can have is with the God of the Bible or with something under that umbrella. But It sounds like they're throwing anything in with this, Buddhist or whatever. So here's Yale psychiatry and neuroscience professor Mark Potenza says, spiritual experiences are robust states that may have profound impact on people's lives. So that's how he is defining it. Well, that really could be anything. Continuing on in his quote, understanding the neural bases of spiritual experiences might help us better understand their roles in resilience and recovery from mental health and addictive disorders. All good stuff. But again, you have to properly define what a spiritual experience is. It sounds like it could just be appreciation for anything. I mean, if they're comparing it with watching a sports game, that's not a spiritual experience. You might get excited or something, but that's not the same thing. So again, you close your eyes to pray, you close your eyes to sleep. It doesn't mean that they are the same thing. It doesn't mean that closing your eyes are connected in any way.
You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at jpdisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.